Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. As we were going through the previous chapter, and many times when I've talked about the subject of hell, which is a very complicated subject because the translators unfortunately translated several different words hell. And hell itself, I mean, where does that word come from? That's a mythological term from the Norse. I think the god of the underworld for the Norse, at least one of the gods of the underworld was hell. So hell is just basically this arbitrary translation of a place name in Hebrew, Sheol, in Greek, Hades. But then it's also translated from another thing called Gehenna. But the two different words translated hell are very different places, different meanings. You have one hell, Hades, which also answers to the Hebrew Sheol, being thrown into the lake of fire, which answers to Gehenna. Just given a different name. I believe it answers to Gehenna because of several factors, one of which being a conjunction of several scriptures really helps you identify where this Gehenna is. For one, the place is an actual place, Jerusalem, just outside the city. You know, it was the Valley of the Son of Hinnom. That sets the place, and then you have in the book of Isaiah, it says in the last chapter, in the last few verses, we've read it before, but as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For the worm shall not die, neither shall the fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. And that's how Isaiah ends. And it's important you consider that that's the new heavens and the new earth. They're going forth and they're looking at the place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That is the place that Christ said, into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So the place Christ called Gehenna is attached directly to that passage in Isaiah 66. He says that what it was talking about there is this place Gehenna, which he described, you know, when he said, it is better to enter into life maimed than to have two eyes to be cast into Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And he made that connection especially in Mark. That's Mark 9, the end of the chapter. Here again in Revelation 21, we have the new heaven and the new earth. And this place, Gehenna, is right there. And the new Jerusalem is coming down from God out of heaven, this city. And we have God tabernacling with men, the great voice coming out of heaven declaring it so. He's going to dwell with them. They're going to be his people. And he's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, except for this place, which is in direct proximity in the new heavens and the new earth, according to the prophet Isaiah, unless you just want to throw the old prophets out. But according to him, in the new heavens and in the new earth, they're going to go forth and look upon the carcasses. Isaiah declares that they're going to look upon the carcasses of the men that transgressed against God. But our seed and our name will remain. Their seed and their name shall perish. Yet there are the carcasses. Now, these are the men who transgressed against God. Who are they? I don't know. Nobody knows anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody remembers. Because All the tears and the crying are going to be wiped away. All the sorrow. But imagine if you could look down and see individual people. We're here observing them, much like you see in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. This sort of bizarre circumstance, this horror show, so to speak. Is that really the way you think that God is conducting things? Is that really what the scriptures have taught us? I mean, I've taught so far almost the entire New Testament, excluding the majority of the Gospel of John, which I'm going to be working on heavily as soon as we finish this, and the book of Acts, which we're going to do after John. And I tell you what, I haven't met a lot of passages that force me into this belief that it's got to be this medieval-style torture chamber. I say medieval-style. I mean, in the characteristic of this sort of sadistic torture, in the most, like, we're going to interpret it in the most barbaric possible way. We're going to take the word torment, we're going to take that to the hardest, most barbaric way that man conducts that sort of an investigation. Because the word literally means to test metals with a stone. And so it came by, basically by analogy. As one tests metal with a stone, we will put this person to the test and see what they're made of. And that would usually involve torture. It's an inquisition sort of thing. But the thing is, what kind of information is God looking for these people? What does he want from them? What are they supposed to yield up?
Doesn't their destruction yield up everything that God could possibly wish to extract from them?
Now, fear not him that can destroy the body, but afterwards they can do no more against you, but rather fear him who can cast your soul and your body into hell. Matthew 10:28. Gehinnom, and I'm paraphrasing. Who can destroy the body by casting it into hell. And what I'm really pushing against is not so much my own point of view, but pushing against the conditioning which we all receive. Meaning, you know, people tell you something means something, and you just keep looking at it that way because that's the first impression you were given. And it's like someone says, if someone gives you an ink blot and they say, do you see the butterfly? You say, yes, I see the butterfly.
You're being led.
Because of the nature of things like that. You say, Paul, you are comparing the scripture to ink blots? Well, sometimes it can be like that. It's not so much that the scripture is an ink blot, it's just the human mind is malleable. Men can mold our minds to see things